Let's bring in Jonah Carey. How you doing, Jonah? Jonah?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, all right. I just said, how you doing? How you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
What, I'm nice to people. People are surprised when I'm nice to them. Explain this A.J. Ellis thing to me. So the Dodgers have basically decided to piss off maybe the, you know, what, second, third best pitcher they've ever had. I understand the baseball thinking in some ways behind Carlos Ruiz for A.J. Ellis and all that. But, man, when you've got a guy who's a personal catcher for Clayton Kershaw, and you know, this whole thing has gone on all year with, you know, yes, Manny Grandel and the Dodgers brain trust sort of trying to convince Clayton Kershaw that, at least when he was healthy, that he should at least consider working with this guy. How do you see this playing out? Because it's strange. I mean, to me, the first thing it says, Jonah, is Clayton Kershaw's not going to pitch this year.
I think that's possible. You know, I've thought that for a while, that the injury is very serious. The back injury, I've talked to people within the organization who haven't said flat out that that's the case, but it's certainly a possibility. I think you've got another issue here, which is a roster crunch. By virtue of all these guys getting hurt and being on the DL, they've set an all-time record in baseball for 27 different players on a disabled list. Mm-hmm. They have this weird situation. So as guys come back, they have to figure out what's up with the 40-man roster. Had they not traded A.J. Ellis, they'd be at 41 already, so they'd have to get rid of somebody. And, you know, they could probably do it. That's not a big cut. But, you know, Andre Ethier is on rehab, and Trace Thompson might come back, and Alex Wood is throwing, and Kershaw. So you would get to a point where one of two things would happen. Either you're getting rid of A.J. Ellis now, or you're having to make a hard decision later because, you know, is he one of the most valuable members of the 40-man roster at this point in his career? Probably not. Now, I get the chemistry thing, but I think that becomes an issue where it was just going to be a numbers crunch regardless. You know, the fact that they've acquired all these players, young players, contingency plan players, guys with pretty good arms, it was going to force a tough situation one way or the other. That's basically the look at it. And furthermore, I would say that, you know, this is A.J. Ellis is under contract for one more month. He's a free agent at the end of this season.
So, sure.
Yeah, you know, he's a big guy in the clubhouse, not only for Kershaw and everybody else, but if you really love A.J. Ellis, and like, on a personal level, I like the guy. I just had him on my podcast. People should listen. It was heartbreaking. He talked about how great it is to be a lifelong Dodger. He's been there in the organization for 13 years. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, you know, if they like him a lot, go ahead and get him back, you know, in October or November. I don't see it as a major problem.
Yeah, Joni, I'm going to put you on the spot here. You know, everybody around here obviously loves the Blue Jays. In your eyes, tell me who wins the American League East and why.
I mean, I don't know the answer to that. How would I know the answer to that question? I would wager on it, obviously. I wouldn't be talking on the radio.
Educated guess on who it is, because all three of the teams that are in the race have issues.
So the Orioles seem like a least likely team of the three for two reasons. Number one is, even though everybody plays their own division in September, the Orioles have a particularly tough schedule. Their out-of-division rivals are tougher. They actually have the toughest schedule of the three teams remaining, so that creates a bad situation for them. And Chris Tillman's hurt, and that's a big issue. You know, Chris Tillman might only be out for 2 or 3 weeks. Guess what? There's only 5 weeks left in the regular season. Mm-hmm. He's missing half of the rest of the regular season or more. That's a problem, especially for a team with a thin rotation. It's an all-star starter who gives you 7 innings almost every time. So I'd put them as the third candidate. The Red Sox and the Jays, I'll just handicap it in terms of what needs to happen and what doesn't need to happen. For the Red Sox, you know, starting pitching has been a big issue for them this year. Quietly, it's been quite a bit better this year. David Price had a bad start. Last 20 starts, 3.12 ERA. Very good. 3.12 is not Cy Young, but very good. Drew Pomeranz started terribly. Last 5 starts with the Red Sox, ERA just over 2, very good. Rodriguez, the young left-hander, he's been injured. I wouldn't say that he's perfect, but he's had his moments. That's been better. They've got Porcello. They've got right back. That's actually a pretty decent starting rotation. But the problem is that the bullpen isn't necessarily all that reliable. Even after acquiring Kimbrel and Ziegler and all these other guys, they can't necessarily be relied upon. And so what's happening is our old friend John Farrell is managing very weirdly, where he gets the 7th inning of every game, and it's a big freaking problem because he doesn't know what to do. Should he push his starter further? Well, when you push starters further, even if they're good starters, 3rd or 4th time for the order, there's a penalty for every starter in the majors. It doesn't matter if you're a Cy Young guy or not. It just gets more difficult to get guys out. If he goes to his relievers, well, they often blow it too. And two games in a row, we just saw Wednesday and Thursday, that's exactly what happened against Tampa Bay. Starters were doing pretty well. Carroll pushed them. They blew the game late in the game. So that's not great. He's got to figure that out. That's sort of the issue with them. With the Blue Jays, I just think it's a bad stretch, to be honest with you. I just think they kind of laid an egg against the Angels. If I look at them, they are the most complete team in the division. I've talked about it before with you guys. I love the depth additions. Getting Upton, you know, gives them options, allows them to Bautista, to DH and all that stuff. Getting Grilly, which was a little bit earlier, granted, but that gave you a third reliable relief pitcher to go with Biagini and Osuna. You know, you get Gary Feldman. There's just these depth moves that have helped a little bit. Feldman obviously hasn't pitched well, but at least he's on the roster. So I think that's all to the good. One thing that I've said, and Jeff and I agree on this, is I would love to see Liriano in the bullpen. But, of course, the problem there is that if Marco Estrada is going to get lit up, or if Ariadne's not going to pitch well, or Sanchez is going to be babied, then they can't do that. But I think that there's an optimal roster here where Sanchez comes back from his A-ball hiatus. Hopefully Estrada's healthy. They put Liriano in the pen and make him the number one left-hander, and they roll with what they got. And I think if they do that, the hitting comes around, Bautista starts to hit again, and they become the best team in the division.
Yeah, I think one of the things you pointed out, too, is something I felt about this team, is I think that of the three teams in the American League East, they probably, the Jays are probably best positioned to address whatever the problem is internally. You know, it's a matter of they got the pieces, now the pieces have to work. At least that's the way I look at it.
Sure, and I mean, you know, for instance, let's take yesterday's game. Very frustrating game. Why did they lose? Because they didn't hit with runners in scoring position. Is this the least clutch team in the history of sport? Of course not. They just had a crappy game. You know, if you can't hit with runners in scoring position for a couple of games, that is the best possible problem that you can have, because that just corrects itself by virtue of regression.
That's true.
Yeah, it'll just get better. So I'm not really worried about anything, to be honest.
You know, as long as you're getting men on base, if it does correct itself by regression, that's a good thing if you keep getting the men on base. Our friend Matt Moore coming within and out of a no-hitter for the Giants against the Dodgers last night. I know you did, obviously you did the book, the extra 2% on Tampa Bay. Matt Moore's kind of been, I wouldn't say he's been the forgotten guy out of that whole crop of pitchers. Obviously there have been some injuries, but you know, Jonah, you know those guys pretty well. You know that organization pretty well. What is Matt Moore about, and where would he rank in that kind of list of, you know, Rays, that bumper crop of prospects they kept bringing up?
Matt Moore is about one of the most advantageous contracts in all of baseball. The initial contract was only $14 million guaranteed over five seasons. They basically bought everything out leading up to free agency. 2016 is the last year of that. Then there are three team options there. Three they've got.
Wow.
And they're all cheap. It's $7 million, $9 million, and $10 million. By today's standards, for an effective left-hander, that is nothing for a guy who's 27 years old. So that's really good. I think first and foremost, that is what the Giants were acquiring. Because the fact of the matter is that Matt Moore, coming into last night's start, was terrible as a San Francisco Giant. Even if you look at the stats including that start, yeah, he's got 3.41 ERA. That's nice. 31 innings pitched, 20 walks. Dudes, 20 walks. He's had trouble. He has not quite been the guy that we saw, you know, at the beginning of his career. He was actually a top 10 guy in Cy Young voting. He was 17-4, 3.29 in 2013, and the advanced stats also reflected a pretty good season, too. And he just hasn't been that guy since, for injuries and effectiveness and consistency, what have you. So the Giants are basically looking at it and saying it was worth a flyer for a guy who's young and on a good contract. And the fact of the matter is that Matt King was their number five. They didn't even have a number four, really. So he's better than almost nothing. I mean, he's going to give them something, but they don't know what they're going to get. He is a variable in that race. You know, if he pitches like this, obviously it gives the Giants a big boost, because they've been horrible, horrible going back to the All-Star break. They have the worst record in the National League since the All-Star break. They've lost twice as many games as they've won over that span. So they need more to pitch well. They need lots of stuff. They need Hunter Pence to come around. He hasn't really done much since coming off a disabled list. No panic has had an injury-marred season. They need to get it going right now, because, you know, they've fallen behind the Dodgers despite having a much healthier team than L.A. has, and it's disconcerting. So if Moore's going to go out and pitch like this, yeah, sure, that could swing the race, absolutely.